All right. I think that was a concise, almost like an outline. It was well put together, I think, and understandable. And if there are questions, please just bring them up, and we'll try to seek the scriptures that would answer it. We don't pretend to know everything, but I'm trying to read the text while I'm talking. The Bible does have answers. And the more we get into it, the more we see how it confirms itself. It doesn't have any double talk in it, self-contradictions from one place to another. No private interpretations that don't go throughout the scripture. The Lord God created the heaven and the earth, and the heaven goes throughout the scripture, but it's hidden from us. The next verse he starts talking about the earth and the program that God set up for re-establishing his authority on the earth through Israel. Then you get to Acts 9, and he starts revealing his mystery about the heaven and the heavenly people that are being saved into the body of Christ.
Yeah, Paul preached a different gospel. Jesus preached the exact gospel that John the Baptist was preaching. He took over when he found out John was in jail. And Paul never preached a kingdom gospel that the kingdom was coming. That's what Peter preached in Acts 2. And Peter preached in Acts 2 only to Israel. And you men of Judea. That's what we're talking about when we say rightly dividing the word of God. Truth. You got to pay attention to all words on the page and not try to combine. I know lots of religious people that try to combine the Gospels. Well, Paul says that Peter and the boys never added anything unto him. And all right. But Peter was taught by Jesus while on this earth for an earthly ministry. Paul was taught by Jesus from heaven for a heavenly ministry. We're not going to be down here on this earth in a kingdom. We're going to be up in heaven judging angels. And I'm really not feeling too good tonight, but I just wanted to say that I know you weren't here in the beginning, but rightly dividing the word truth is not the page between Micah and Matthew that says New Testament. That's not the New Testament Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament doesn't begin till the death of the testator. The death of the testator happened right towards the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not beginning. And since I'm not feeling too well, I'll get off here.
All right, born of God, you are you're making a common mistake that there's only one gospel in the Bible, and that that we're supposed to be doing what God had sent, confirming signs to the apostles, the 12 apostles to Israel, to show Israel, to get Israel to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And then later, one time, at one church, God gave, at one assembly there in Corinth, God gave the Corinthian body of Christ there signs to show to, well, because of their proximity, like I put in the text up there, proximity to Israel. If you read in chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, it shows that that those signs were, let me put those up on the, 1 Corinthians, if my mouse will work, hold on, 14, 21, it's working right now. And 22, get them both up there while it's working. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. He's speaking. It's not anything nothing hard to understand. It would be hard to understand for people of a different language. Talking, you know, speaking well, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to Israel, to Jews, with men of other lips, people from, where were they coming from? Arabia, Jordan, people speaking different tongues, Egyptians, speaking to God's people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. They wouldn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Did you hear that? Tongues are a sign not for them that believe, but for them that believe not. It's an evangelistic tool, and it just said it was to this people, Israel. So it's Jewish evangelism at that time. It's not an ongoing thing. It's in that one church. Prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Professing God's word. So let me get that dot off of there. Okay. So don't make the mistake that there is only one gospel, or that we're to believe the gospel that Jesus taught his earthly audience when he was walking on the earth. After he was crucified, after he was resurrected, and after he ascended back to heaven, he sent a new pattern down for salvation, a new gospel, a different gospel. And that's all recorded in Scripture, too, besides Israel's information. Look just for a minute at what Jesus did tell Israel and did not tell us, except that we're to read about it and to understand it. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, that's us. Okay, what are they supposed to do about us? Go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Well, why is that? That's because as the Father had sent Jesus, so sent he his 12 apostles. Well, how did the Father send Jesus? He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that include the Gentiles? No, it does not. That's not us. That's not our gospel. We need to find out where Israel fell and what God did after Israel fell. Well, Israel fell in Acts 7 by completing the belittling of God. God the Father, as he is called, in the prophecies, they which of the prophets have you not killed? Remember Stephen's sermon there? They rejected the prophets, and they allowed the killing of John the Baptist. And then the Son, they belittled the Son, saying, crucify him, let his blood be on us and on our children. And then finally they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, speaking loudly against him. It says they cried out against the words that Stephen was speaking. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking those words, and they stoned him. And that was the fall of Israel. Well, did that leave us without any way to come to God? He, within days and hours, possibly the same day, hours later, Saul went to the high priest, got papers to go to Damascus, started on his way to Damascus, saw a bright light, and the Lord apprehended him and said that he was sending him to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. Well, they were all in phases. He started off going into the synagogue there in Damascus and started teaching the gospel of God. That's a different gospel than the gospel of the kingdom. You can tell by the name God gave it. It's different to distinguish it. And the information, the content of the gospel is different. It's not that the promised kingdom from Exodus 19 is now being offered you. The kingdom is here? No, it's not about the kingdom. It's about being saved. And the gospel that the Lord gave to Paul and saved Paul by is the gospel that has to do with faith only, not faith and works, like Israel had to keep the covenants. They had to keep the commandments. They had to keep circumcision, keep the Sabbath. Many things they had to do. And the last thing is what they messed up on doing. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. And that's why they fell. But God did save Paul a different way, by grace through faith, without works. He didn't work to be saved. He was working against God. He had papers to go and kill believers in God. But God saved him. God saved his enemies. If you read Romans 1 through 5, especially 3 through 5, those three chapters, 3, 4, and 5, it's very clear what God started doing through Paul and with Paul. And his epistles tell us what our gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And somebody put them on the screen there earlier. Let me just put them up there again. And you can see it has nothing to do with the kingdom, has nothing to do with being water baptized or anything like that. So here we go. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, they had to receive it, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. And you see the distinction there? Not what Peter preached, not what Jesus preached to Israel, but what Jesus commissioned Paul to preach to us, Gentiles. Well, what is it that we're to believe to be saved? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I, Paul says, he also received it, how that Christ died for our sins. Paul received it that Christ died for his sins, going after believers and killing them. Christ died for that. What else is it? Well, that's one of the three things. The other two are listed in the fourth verse. He was buried and rose again the third day. Because these are things that you are countering. And if you read the banner up there, it says no teaching of alternate doctrine. These are all, I'm giving you verses, what the Bible says and how what the error is in your teaching. Hard to hear. Okay. All right. Well. I don't think she's coming back. I'm reading that, Leanna. I'm not sure what you mean, but let me read it, and I may ask a question about it. Paul may have been referring to such information when he wrote to the Corinthian saints, I delivered unto you that which I also received, which illustrates his effort to transmit and preserve the gospel knowledge he had acquired. Verse 3, Christ died for our sins, and verse 11, I think that's the part about in vain, isn't it? Let me see, verse 11. Therefore, is that right? Yeah, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believed. See also Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And Acts 11:23. Isn't that about the last Passover, the Lord's last Passover, that Paul is talking to those Jews that had just come out of the synagogue and believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, and they were meeting in Paul's meetings for lack of any other place to go, that believing the gospel of God, they were no longer welcome in the synagogue. Let me get that verse and make sure we're talking about the same thing. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. Yeah, that's about that. The Lord telling Paul about his Passover meal. The Lord's Passover. It's been a while since it's too late now, but in the next few days I hope to play Sean Rashard's handling of that Passover meal and the bringing into the understanding of that, the various verses that do apply to that. And you need to always identify the pronouns to whom each, you know, what. Well, for instance, in John 3, thee and thou are singular words. They're referring to a singular person, one person. Or one, a group of single persons, individuals, rather than to the group as a whole. If Christ was referring to the group, like the people that Nicodemus was a ruler of, he would say, he would use why words, ye, y'all. Modern term, I think. But anyway, the Y words are plural, the pronouns. The TH words are singular. So you can tell the difference when Christ is saying, well, let me get those verses up there. Since we're using that, I'm using that as an example. But you have to identify who the pronouns is speaking to, because otherwise you don't know who the information applies to, and you might apply it to yourself when it doesn't apply. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou, singular person, art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Well, that was one of the signs in the Old Testament for Israel to recognize when the Messiah came. He would do healings and cast out demons. So where do people fit in today? Let me get a brief answer on there and then continue with this. Right there is a verse that pretty well displays who our apostle is. Apostle means sent out one. Who is it that Jesus Christ sent out to the Gentiles with the world's information how to be saved today? Gentiles being everybody now, because Israel is not an entity it's not a favored entity by which to approach God. The gospel of God has taken that place. Gospel of God, first four verses of Romans, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and that he is risen from the dead. So let me just get back into John 3. Verse 3, we're talking about pronouns right now. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, so that's to this person standing in front of him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And be aware, when it talks about the kingdom of God, it's not always talking about the same situation. I mean, this is seeing the kingdom. Some places it's talking about ownership of the kingdom. It says they would inherit the kingdom in some places. And some places it's talking about entering the kingdom. So you have to be aware of what it actually says, not assume that it means the same thing in all cases. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Next verse, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that's to Nicodemus alone, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he's talking to Nicodemus about a person being born of water and of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And here's the verse I'm talking about coming up here. That which is, 7, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, unto Nicodemus, ye. There's the plural. Well, Nicodemus is not a plural, but verse 1 said he was a ruler of the Gentiles. He's representing, a ruler of the people of, what was the wording there? Was it, Israel, a ruler of the Jews. No, it's hidden. Hold on. Ruler of the Jews, yeah. So he's talking about the Jews. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye, the Jews, Israel, must be born again. And that's, they were born in Exodus 4:22, and they need to be born again. And they haven't been born again yet as a nation. They will be brought up as a nation. Let me get, I think that completes that. Let me just see some of these comments here. I'm not addressing everything here. I pray you check your conclusions before Christ comes for us in the clouds. Yes, Leanna, the word of God is complete. No need for apostles today. We need an apostle. We have an apostle, and we follow the apostles' writings. That's Paul. The book is complete today. That's true. It's all in writing today. Amen. No need for apostles today. Why would they have been why would they have been needed before if they are not needed now? Because there was a mystery, a secret kept hidden until it was revealed to Paul for us. And that involves the body of Christ. You can't find that before Acts 9 when Paul was saved. It was revealed to Paul. That's when Paul writes about it in his epistles, that's how we know about it. The body of, not only the body of Christ, the gospel by which anybody can be saved today is only given us through Paul. It's not, it doesn't appear in the prophetic writings, in the things that were told. It's in the things that were kept secret since the world began. To verify that, let me just show a couple things here. Look at Acts 3, verse 21. Whom heaven must receive until the time, talking about Jesus, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You see those last four words, since the world began? That is talking about the things that God has told us in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way up to Acts 7, the prophecies. But if you look in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and we're going to look at the 25th verse here. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, not some other gospel. So there must be more than one gospel by this time. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy? No, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That which was kept secret since the world began cannot be that which was spoken since the world began. They cannot be the same body of information. So my stomach is really rolling. Sorry, Brian. Hang in there, buddy. So that's why it's important to know that there's a good verse, yeah. That's why it's important to know what Christ says to us from heaven through Paul in Paul's epistles of Romans through Philemon. And you can't find that anywhere else in the Bible because it was kept secret from them. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how we study. That's how we're approved, by rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter himself acknowledges that Paul has our information how to be saved. Look at what he says. Account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And a little more, he says, about what's going on today in some places, as also in all his epistles, that's talking about Romans through Philemon, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Well, they would be hard for a prophecy teacher, an apostle in Israel's realm, in Israel's program. It would be hard for him to understand the things that God revealed that he had kept secret until he revealed it to Paul after Peter had gone about preaching in Acts 2, Acts 3. Paul wasn't saved until Acts 9, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or wrestle as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Martin Luther wanted to take, James out of the Bible, or the book of James, because it seemed to contradict Paul's epistles about grace. James speaking a lot about works. But James was one of those apostles of Israel, speaking to Israel. You have to determine who is being addressed. when there's a gospel being given, is it a gospel to us? Are we going to be saved from God's wrath in the flood by building an ark? That's not to us, but it was good news how to be saved from that wrath of God in the flood for Noah. So we have to identify what is to us. So if God decided to add upon your knowledge of his gospel, you would say it is false. The Bible is complete. Yeah, Colossians 1:25. It was given to Paul to complete the gospel. His epistles complete God's revelation to man. Not the book of Revelation. That was most probably written much earlier than that 96 that Usher thought it was written. Bishop Usher. If it's not inside the writings of the Bible, it is false. That's true. I don't know. If it's not inside the writings of the Bible, it doesn't have the authority of the Bible saying it's true. It could be true. The sun rises each day, you know. There are some things that are true without necessarily being recorded in the Bible. But when the Bible does speak, you've got the right idea. It is true, yes. I don't see any hand up. So if someone has some words to add or a different way of addressing this, please raise your hand. The whole Bible is for our learning. But not all the Bible is talking to us. That's right. God had many people to address in his Bible. It's not all me, mine, and me, myself. It's to Israel mostly, except for, Jonah, Nahum, and Obadiah, and Paul's epistles. The rest is all to Israel. About 50 books there, 51. So the directions about the law, etc., that's to Israel, not to us. There's a verse in 1 Timothy 1:9 that the law exposes our guilt. Yes, it does. But it wasn't given to us. It's not a means of justification for us. You can tell that from Acts. Let me get that verse up here. Acts, 13:39? Acts 13:39. You can see in one verse two ways of being justified. One that used to be, but it didn't cover all things. You couldn't be justified from all things. And one that is current today by which you can be justified from all things. So the verse says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So God's revelation to Paul replaces Israel's rejected religion. I mean, they rejected their king. Look what Paul said about where his gospel came from and how he got it. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Well, Peter's a man. James is a man. Jesus was a man when he walked the earth. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was from heaven. Christ's ministry from heaven. Not his earthly ministry. So the gospel, he identifies it as a different gospel back in Acts 13 again. If you look at verse 26, look at the way he refers to the gospel that he preaches. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So the word would be the gospel, word of this gospel of salvation he's talking about there. Do you think the gospel Moses was trying to live not the same gospel as Paul. That's right. Moses was given, was sent by God. Remember that if you've seen the movie or read it in Scripture, he received the sending by God to go and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and then they went out in the desert and crossed the, I always get that mixed up, was it Red Sea or Jordan? I think that's the Red Sea, isn't it? And actually crossed not on land, but on dry land, where the water had just been. But Paul received his gospel from Jesus Christ. Centuries later, it was different, yes. And Paul says that it was different in 1 Corinthians 2. If we look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or completed, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. What kind of wisdom, Paul? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. A secret. The word mystery means secret. It was had been kept secret, like we read in Romans 16:25. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then verse 8 tells the importance of keeping it secret, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You might think, well, that would save Jesus from having to go through the crucifixion. But Jesus loved the world. He gave his life and his blood for the world, the blood of the cross. We wouldn't have a Savior if Satan had known and kept Jesus from being crucified. Okay, I see Gary's hand. Come on up, Gary.
No, we should not love the world. First John tells us that the world hates us. Leanna, Jesus loved the world because he was the Savior. But that doesn't mean we should love the world. We should love sinners. Yeah, all right. Okay. Apparently I'm not on. Whatever. Am I on? Okay. We should follow the risen, ascended, glorified Lord, Leanna. Not the Christ or the Jesus of the Gospels. The Jesus of the Gospels was speaking directly to, for, and about Israel. So, our example is 2:15 and 16, Mike, because 15 is good too. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Yes, we follow the instructions that the risen, glorified, ascended Lord gave to Paul, which is now our instructions. Leanna. And I'm going back a little bit to see what else you said that I could answer. Oh, you said Moses received his gospel from, well, the Lord himself spoke to him a few times, gave him the law of Moses, the law for Israel, and so his good news to Moses, Moses was to teach Israel. Let's see. And no, the gospel given to Moses by God is not the same gospel as Paul. No, because the gospel given to Moses had to do with the law, not under grace. So, I was looking to see what else you had said. Maybe I could answer. Going back a little further. Yes, as you said earlier, all scripture we can learn from. In 1 Corinthians, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for whatsoever, in the context of verse 1 through 10, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, the body of Christ, shall, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Okay, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the context would be from verse 1 to 11, at least. It's written about Israel that we should learn from them. Now these things in verse 1 Corinthians 10:6, for these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And in verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So anything we read outside of Paul, both before it and after, is for our learning, admonition, and example, so that we don't do what Israel was meant to do and see their failures and do them, but we should follow the instructions of Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, for instance, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, there's several verses that talk about Paul being our apostle, and that we should follow the things that he has instructed us to do. So, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 and 16, gotta get this thing out of my way. In 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, he says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, the idea of chief there is not the worst sinner. It's not the foremost of anything, but he is the beginning of a whole new creation. Verse 16 says, howbeit for this cause, the cause was what he said here in 15, I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Yeah, head of the line, yeah. Somebody had to be a pattern for us to follow as a copy. Okay. All right. I guess while she's talking to family. Are you back, Leanne? Leanna? Oh, good. Good timing. Yeah, I figured I'd fill up some space. The final frontier, you know. any more questions, Leanna? Yeah. Well, you can hear me clear now, but not the music. Okay. I try not to mess with my computer too much because I end up screwing it up more than I should. This is why I have a daughter to help me. She usually helps me with certain... Yeah. Well, I try to answer some of them. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the old computer, Mike, I don't have to have it much more than 70%. But this new one, I guess I have to have it lower. I was, hopefully I was answering some of your questions, Leanna, unless you were distracted. Mike answered some, I answered some. You got two, variations. Do you have any more questions about what Mike was teaching or anything else biblical? I guess I'm done talking, Mike.
Thanks, Gary. Leanna, when you've got two gospels, one for Israel and one for us, you at the time when our gospel was being introduced, that would be basically during the middle part of Acts there, and the churches that Paul went to and are synagogues where he didn't go to churches, did he? He set up churches from the believers that believed and were forced out of the synagogues for believing that Jesus was the Messiah. So he would form what I call Paul's meetings, and that's different than the believers in Israel's gospel looking for a kingdom. Well, they knew the kingdom was rejected, but it was still coming way out in the future. Still today, it's coming out in the future. It'll be coming to earth, to rule on earth, with Jesus Christ sitting on the earthly throne. But that's not us. We will have been caught up in the catching up by that time. We are the body of Christ, and what I'm getting at, there are several verses I've found that show the distinction, or at least show that there is a distinction between Israel's the believers in Israel's gospel and doctrine, and believers in Paul's doctrine in the body of Christ. Let me just put them up there in case that's something of interest to you. Give none offense. Well, now he's talking to those in Corinth that, in this case, in this part of the book, he's talking to those that are in the body of Christ that are believers in Paul's gospel, not believers in Israel's gospel about a kingdom. They believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. So he says to them, he says, give none offense, neither to the Jews. Well, that's the second group of people. That's the people that ran the synagogues, the people that rejected Christ as their Messiah. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles. That's the unsaved. That are not Jews, nor to the Church of God. The Church of God is what Paul said he persecuted, tried to kill those believers in Israel's gospel, Church of God. So the body of Christ, you've got the body of Christ that is being spoken to, and you've got the Jews that rejected Christ, the disbelieving Gentiles, and the believing Jews in the little flock, or the Israel of God, the Church of God. So what then, this remnant? this gathering, is this gathering of the tribes irrelevant? I don't know of a gathering of the tribes. That's not the catching up. There's no tribes in the catching up. That's Israel. There's no sheep in the catching up. That's Israel. It was a shocker for me when I realized that that means the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. He's Israel's shepherd, yes. That was to Israel. He's not my shepherd. He's my head. He's the head of the body. So the Lord showed Jeremiah a vision of the future that put the calamities he had witnessed into a perspective of hope. Okay. Well, the tribes will be gathered together. Israel's tribes, Israel will, let me get that verse. I use it fairly often. If I can find a poster that'll work here. it's Zechariah 12:10. Israel is still rebelling against the Lord. They think that they're special people just because they were born a Jew and that God is on their side. They don't accept the the occurrences of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. But Zechariah 12:10 says that's going to turn around. They will have to change their mind about that. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. The spirit of grace. That's a change. They're used to law. A spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they've pierced. That's when he's coming down. They will see him. And they will recognize that he is, just like Paul did on the road to Damascus. This is really Jesus standing in front of me. And shall mourn, they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So the Lord will come back, and he will pour out on Israel the ability to accept him as their Messiah at that point. And that will fulfill the Deuteronomy 18 verses 15 to 19 prophecy that the God will send another prophet like Moses from the people that they will have to listen to, and talking about Jesus Christ, whom it says if they don't listen, it's going to be trouble for them. Well, they didn't listen, and it has been trouble over these centuries. We are in mystery. We are not in prophecy. Prophet, that's the biggest division and difference in the Bible, is the difference between what is prophecy and what is mystery. Mystery is that which was kept secret throughout the ages until it was revealed to Paul after the ascension back to heaven of Jesus Christ. Christ revealed it to Paul from heaven, and that's the information, all these details about the catching up of the body of Christ, the very fact that there is a body of Christ, the headship of Jesus Christ over the body of Christ, the gospel of Christ by which we're saved. All these things and other things that I'm not coming to my mind right now. I have no audio. Uh-oh. Oh, dear. Be right back. I wonder if she had audio before. She must have. There, Leanna, can you hear now? Sorry, can you hear now? Can you hear me? Could you hear some of what I was saying earlier? Okay, all right, good. I thought I saw a hand up. I guess not. Okay. I gave one of the verses. Let me give a couple other ones here. We were in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 16 and verse 22. Show that there is more than one group of believers believing different gospels. They're different groups, I guess you could say. It doesn't use the term gospel, But if any man seem to be contentious, that's the one group, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Again, the churches of God are those Jewish believers in the kingdom, kingdom believers that Paul persecuted before he was apprehended by Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. So you've got the we and the churches of God. And then verse 22 is the only other one I can think of right now. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? See, it's a remote, he's not talking to this church of God. He's talking to the body of Christ, saying that they despise this other entity, the church of God, and shame them that have not. Why do they have not? Because they had given all, brought everything, sold all, brought it to the feet of the apostles to be distributed until Christ came back. Well, Christ didn't come back because Israel refused their Messiah and blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and Israel fell. By the way, it skipped out of my mind. I read that on the screen there. Another reason to understand that if you've heard or know about Daniel's prophecy, 70-week prophecy, it didn't complete. What kept it from completing? It completed through 69 of the 70 weeks, but there's that 1 week of prophecy left to be fulfilled. It stopped in the 69th week, and you can count from 450 B.C. through the 69 sevens of years, weeks of years, to find about the exact time when Israel fell or Christ was crucified, actually, and there was an acceptable year of the Lord that Israel fell at the end of. I need to go get a drink so I can either put some music on or leave an open mic. Okay. Let's see. It's my phone, my poor internet connection. Sometimes it goes smoothly. Other times it breaks. All right. I'm going to get a drink. Y'all take the mic if you want or wait in peace.
I have the mic, and I'm waiting for a answer. Yep. Yes, yes, Israel did fall at a point in time, and the body of Christ, there was a transition period where they were, as they were falling, well, yes, but that's not exactly, we fall as an individual, but they fell as a nation. That's the difference. We trip and fall from time to time, sure. But as a nation, they fell one time where God put them aside and he dealt with forming the body of Christ. Yeah, nations are vague, all right. Yeah. Well, the nation of Israel is small compared to all the other nations in the world. But they were God's people that he chose way back in the Old Testament and tried to work them. Yeah. Yep. Ah. Did you get a drink for all of us, Mike, or just yourself? Not very nice, you know. You made me thirsty yeah, okay. That's fine. Be that way. Israel, as a nation, they are not much, they're no different than anybody else today. Right. They're on the same playing level. They're all, every nation is a sinful nation, and all in need of Christ. And they all need to see the promise of salvation the same way today. Not add to, not alter, not fix, not help with God on anything, because Christ did it all. Well, the breakdown of the family in this country of America today is pretty much on a spiral downhill. The breaking of the family unit has been going on for many years. And it'll continue that way. It starts with a small ripple and ends up in a big wave. And if things don't change in our country, we will become a country taken over by someone we don't want to. And not only that, but our rights as believers will be taken away. We will be persecuted.